Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, bringing you more stories about incredible women who share their knowledge and let you in on their amazing experiences, all to help you to learn and grow along the way. So my special guest today is Aliza Licht, and she is an incredible woman for so many reasons. Aliza is the SVP of Global Communications at Donna Karan International, and she's also known as DKNY PR Girl, which is the company's award-winning social media personality on Twitter, and that handle is at DKNY. Aliza is the author of a new book, and I've read the book. It's wonderful. It's called Leave Your Mark, a book that discusses how to land your dream job, kill it in your career, and rock social media. Just a little bit more about Aliza. She was listed as number 30 in the New York Daily News Top 50 Most Powerful Women in New York. She is an inaugural TEDx Times Square speaker, and she's been profiled by the New York Times in PR Girl Revealed as PR Executive. There are so many other impressive accomplishments, probably too many to give you on this segment, but without any further delay, Aliza, it is so nice to have you on my show. Welcome.
It is a pleasure for me to be here. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, reading your book, I find it fascinating that you are actually studying neurobiology and physiology on your way to becoming a plastic surgeon and made this transition. You carved out a niche for yourself in fashion, and I just wanted to ask you, and you can share with the listeners, why fashion?
You know, I grew up loving fashion and being inspired by fashion, but, you know, back then, I didn't have any friends who were in fashion. I didn't know it was a career, you know, and everything was, I guess, more simple back then, and we didn't have access. There was no Google or LinkedIn, and I think the choices were more limited simply because we didn't know better. So,
it's,
you know,
it's
having...
It's so true.
It's so true, and, you know, I really sort of came back to fashion after realizing that I didn't want to pursue a career in medicine, and when it was finally a realization for me, I was like, oh my God, that's always been under my nose. I just didn't know that I could pursue that.
And of course, you know, going in one direction and making that change, it is such an important realization, but at the same time, you probably had to tell parents and, you know, get them to understand the direction that you were going and do, I know from your book, do a lot of hard work in how do you find that experience. And I do want to talk about your book. So Leave Your Mark, Land Your Dream Job, Kill It in Your Career, Rock Social Media, also important, not just for public relations professionals, for anybody. You know, after reading the book, anyone can read this book and gain so much knowledge. But so writing this book, what was your main goal? Tell us a little bit about that.
So really, I started mentoring virtually on Twitter over the course of 6 years. And how it started was I came up with this hashtag, PR101, because I found that there were a lot of aspiring PR people on Twitter who were following. And when I would tweet out these little tidbits of advice, in almost every case, someone would tweet back, that's life 101, or that's more than just for PR people. Like, everyone could learn something from that. And I started to think about that and realize that maybe the advice was more universal, but of course it's coming from my perspective as a publicist. And slowly but surely, you know, I would get more and more questions like, you know, I have an interview coming up, do you have any tips for me? Or how do I know if my resume is good enough? And I would field these questions individually. Sometimes I would blog the answers, and sometimes I would simply private message the person and give them feedback. So almost 2 years ago, when Grand Central approached me to write a book, I hadn't considered writing a book. I was really happy just dishing out advice on Twitter, but an editor contacted me and said that she thought quite possibly there was a book in here somewhere, as she put it.
And I love that.
Yeah, and I was, of course, really flattered, but really intimidated as well, because, you know, there's only so many hours in the day.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm a mother of two children, full-time job, whole nine yards. So it became this question of when, how, about what. And, you know, you can convince yourself against anything if you try hard enough.
Yes, you can.
So, and for me, you know, when I started to contemplate it, I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to do this unless I have a purpose. No one needs another book. And the editor really stayed on me for weeks and weeks and weeks, and weeks turned into months. And finally, I realized, it's actually funny, the cover image came to me first in my mind, because I wear red lipstick every day and I'm a coffee addict. And to me, coffee, whether it's coffee or tea or whatever your liquid ritual is, I do think it signifies the working person.
Yes.
And I look down on a red lipstick stained coffee cup every day and I thought, oh, I'm leaving my mark on my cup, leave your mark in life. And that really came to me first. And then I thought, you know, what if this book was my way of grabbing coffee with anyone who's ever asked me to that I unfortunately had to say no to? And then I thought, okay, what if it was a virtual mentor? And then it sort of, you know, it fell into place, because then it had a purpose, and then I could wrap my head around what that purpose would be and what would sort of go into what they call a narrative prescriptive.
Right. And I remember reading an example that you gave in the book. I think it was Jenna.
Yes.
Somebody who came to you virtually, asked a question. You really took the time. You took it offline. You talked on the phone.
I did.
And yeah, giving that time to somebody, and you are, there's no doubt about it, Donna Karen in the foreword said about your passion, and that's something that you wanted to do. So it makes perfect sense that the book, as it came to being, and Leave Your Mark is such a wonderful way to reach so many people, because I always find that, you know, when you get these questions virtually, so many other people have that same question and want that answer. So it's great to share with one, but being able to share with the masses who need it too is just wonderful. So really happy the way your book came together.
Thank you. You know, I feel compelled to help. You know, so many times it's such a simple answer. And it's really just lack of having a sounding board. You know, I have people emailing me through my website from South Africa and all different countries. And the problems are so universal, whether it's they don't know if they're ready for a promotion, or they have this really terrible colleague at work, or their boss is, you know, I don't know, I don't want to say bully, but, you know, there are some bully traits to the person. And it's amazing, no matter where the person lives, the problems are so similar. And
yes.
I just think if I can help, you know, people sort of navigate their jobs, you know, why not? It's my duty. I've had a really, you know, positive support system in my later career, and you know, I want to pay it forward.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I truly believe in paying it forward. One thing that I wanted to mention, which definitely segments into my next question, is you are in an industry that I've heard, and you know, I have friends in fashion, is really tough. So being able to impart advice around a tough industry, like you said, these issues are universal. So if you make it in a really tough industry, you can make it anywhere. So my next question is almost, tell us more about, and you put this in your book, I think it was a full chapter devoted to the people and the politics. I found it extremely interesting how you laid out the different personalities, because you always have these personalities no matter where you work. So maybe you could just talk about that chapter and why it's so important to understand the personalities.
Absolutely, because human nature isn't going away.
No.
And, you know, unfortunately, human nature gets in the way of talent. And you can be really skilled and really talented, and you can have people around you who are really not rooting for you to succeed and can really trip you up no matter how good you are. And, you know, in my early years, I did have some people who I speak about in the book that really were not on my side, and I had to learn at a very young age how to navigate those personalities. And I do believe they exist in every industry. Fashion, of course, has quite a reputation for it's really prevalent in every industry, and you just have to learn how to work around them because they're not going away. So
no, they're not.
Personalities and sort of like how you would manage each one, because what I didn't want to do in the book is go through all of these problems and not give solutions. So I do try to give a solution to every problem.
That's excellent. And as for the personalities, they might be called different things. You know, we all have a Cruella de Vil, or you all have maybe the, I think you referred to it as the Malibu Barbie or the Ken. No matter what you call this personality, they are there. And there is this notion, especially if it is a higher up, I find you have to learn how to manage up, work around that person, work with this person, but they're not going anywhere. And if you want to stick around, yeah.
And most of the time, hopefully you can figure out a way to work with that person. You know, if you know who you're dealing with, that's half the battle.
Yes.
Sometimes they're wrapped in a really pretty package, but, you know, once you unwrap it, you really see.
Yeah. When you start working more closely and you peel the layers of the onion back, you learn very quickly who are allies and not allies. There's a lot to be said about working in your organization and working with personalities, which sort of segues into this whole social media and being collaborative. And social media is important to the career. But what else, besides, maybe you can comment on how social media helps, but also what else you have to do besides social media to be your own publicist?
I think social media is a great way to build your network and to really expand your horizons, whether it is that you want to learn about something else and you want to learn through almost shadowing someone. You know, you can learn so much from really shadowing someone on social without them even knowing that you're doing it, right?
I know. Yes.
It's pretty amazing. But I think that social media has given every person the ability to amplify whatever message it is that they want to get out. And, you know, again, it goes back to personal branding, and I said this in the book, and I'll say it again. It's not about being famous or having millions of followers. It really is about what people take away from seeing your timeline. What are they, you know, what judgment call are they going to make once they've reviewed it? What are these people going to think when they meet you in person? Like, do those worlds align? You know, you want to make sure that you're not giving off one impression on social and then you meet someone in real life and you're like, wait, that's that person? That person is so different in real life. And that happens a lot because people hide behind their profiles, their computers. So I think that it just, you know, the PR mindset is really aligning the message that you want people to get with what they are getting.
And I see that is very important to align the message and have that in every experience be consistent. And I think that's where you touched upon the whole can't hide behind the online personality and be one person and then know that you're going to be a public person in another setting and meet people face to face and not follow through with that same experience, whatever they expect of you. And then that really is your personal brand. I'm talking with my special guest, Aliza Licht, SVP of Global Communications for Donna Karan International and the author of Leave Your Mark. In the next segment, Aliza will discuss the biggest obstacles people face on their way to landing their dream jobs.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where Lisa Licht and I were just chatting about surviving the people and politics in an organization, and also the role that social media plays when you're pursuing your career. So, Lisa, let's turn the tables a little bit. I love to do this. Let's get more personal about your career and managing family life. As a busy professional woman, and now you're an author, how are you carving time out for family and friends?
Well, it's, of course, you know, the million-dollar question, and I think nobody does it perfectly every day, you know, and especially today, as I call it, it's like a faux Monday. It's really, you know, we're all working hard, we're tired, you know, the kids are tired,
right.
And I think, you know, I try to shift my priorities throughout the day so that it doesn't get too overwhelming. When I go home, though, I do stop the work, and I pick it up once they've gone to bed. So for me, I think it's all possible if you have a great support system, and that support system can be family, can be friends, can be hired help, whatever, you know, whatever is at your fingertips, really. And then sacrificing sleep, I think, is the only way to really get it done, because, I mean, even, you know, with the book, for example, I didn't want the book to be a source of negativity for my family. I didn't want them to be like, the book again, you're writing the book. You know, I didn't want that to be a thorn in their side. So I basically wrote it every night from 9:30 p.m. till about 1 in the morning, because I didn't want it to interfere with our time together. And so I sacrificed sleep. So to me, then, if you do that, of course, you drink a lot of coffee, which I am known to do.
And put on more makeup and wear your red lipstick.
Yes. And, you know, and I think one of my rules is not feeling like you have to be everywhere. You know, I many, many years ago, I said to myself, you know what? My career is not going to be based on me going out every night. Like, that's not the kind of career I want. That's not the kind of life I want. And I don't go out every night. And I'm very selective with what I say yes to. And I go to things that I absolutely have to, or people that I want to support. And beyond that, I politely decline. And I think that that is really a key ingredient, because if you're out every night and you have a family, it's not a great combination.
No, definitely not. Being able to say no is something that I think I learned later in my career. And if I were to give advice to my younger self, I probably would have said no more often, because sometimes the opportunities just aren't that great. And when you have a family, you definitely have to be able to pick and choose to make time for them. So that's really good that you select carefully. And one other thing that you said that I can so relate to, when I was writing books, you know, in my earlier years, it was always that 10 o'clock till whatever time in the morning that I had to get my writing done. And then sometimes it was 1 o'clock and sometimes it was 3 o'clock. So that is the best way. You sacrifice sleep. But the good news is, as kids get older and they probably want to do less with you, you get more sleep, even if you want to write your next book.
I don't know if that's the good news or the bad news.
I know. You're right. I think it's good news because they develop their own personalities and lives, and then you can see all of the things that you did right. So, and they become independent, if anything. You talked about support systems, which is truly important when you are a woman, you're a business executive. Let's shift a little bit to a role model and a mentor. Do you have role models, mentors that you look to?
Of course. First and foremost, my mother is just the Energizer Bunny. I mean, she does not stop. The woman does not stop. I mean, she is still helping my sister and I in our daily lives with our kids. And she is just selfless. And I think that she set an incredible example for my sister and I. And my father as well, he passed away almost 6 years ago, but he was always doing for people and just constantly overachieving. And I just had a really great example at home. And, you know, on the work front, my boss and mentor, Patty Cohen, she just left the company after 32 years. She was employee number one.
Oh,
and
my.
She was She is. I mean, she's just such a generous person. You know, she's just always supported me, always wanted me to grow, and created this wonderful, positive environment here at Donna Karan for me and then in turn my team. And, you know, I've just been blessed that way to have great people to learn from and support me, because you cannot do it alone. No one can.
No, you definitely can't, and you are blessed to have a mom who is so supportive. And I'm sorry that your dad is not around, but you know, having that influence in your life, and Patty sounds absolutely wonderful. It truly has helped you, it seems like, to land your dream job. What were some of the biggest obstacles? And whether it was what you faced or what you think people face in general as they're trying to define and claim their role in this dream job?
I think, you know, it's always that chicken or the egg. You know, how do you get experience when you have no experience? That was my real problem. I had a resume that was full of, you know, pre-med internships and science major classes, and that was not going to really help me land my dream job in fashion. So I had to really sort of figure out the backdoor way to get that experience. And, you know, sometimes the route is a bit circular, you know, or windy, and it's not, you know, you don't land that perfect first job, but you land something that gets you maybe one step closer to the next opportunity that's still not quite right, but maybe another few steps closer. And eventually you sort of head closer and closer to that, quote, relevant experience that, you know, employers look for on a resume. But I do think you can pull out nuggets of wisdom within experiences that are not firmly on your career path.
That really speaks to your patience and wanting to take every step to get to where you need to be. And sometimes I find in general that people are not willing to kind of learn it all and take it in, because once you do that, you're that much closer to knowing more and being able to do what you really want to do. Do you find that in your experience?
I think that we are so spoiled with immediacy right now, whether it's, you know, shopping on Amazon and you get it like the same day, or, you know, our social media timelines move at the speed of light. I think, you know, people have to remember that things take time. And just because something doesn't happen immediately doesn't mean that it's not going to happen at all. And you do have to have patience, you know, and you're going to hit brick walls, but sometimes, oh, New York City, we have alarms. I'm sorry if you hear that. Sometimes you have to sort of pull yourself up. And I think one of the things, I was speaking the other night to some younger women, and, you know, everyone is so afraid of rejection. And it's, you know, and I said, why? Who cares? No, right. you're not gonna self-combust, you know, if someone says no to you. So you may as well just ask. So I think not being afraid of rejection, not being afraid to start over, I think those are key ingredients to success.
Those are really good ingredients. Can you tell us quickly proudest moment and worst nightmare?
Proudest moment, I would say, is most recently when I saw my son reading my book. And then this is not worst nightmare yet, but then not proudest moment when he was like, do I have to read this? He's 10. I was like, it's maybe a little ahead of your time. Worst nightmare, you know, I still have that crazy, I don't know if you've ever had this, but every once in a while, I think from stress, they say it's from stress, I get that crazy dream where I forgot to go to my math class for a whole semester, and I show up on the last day for the final, and I couldn't find the room the entire semester, just walking around looking for the class.
Isn't that horrible? I can relate
really
to that. I've had dreams
nightmare.
Where I've lost my locker, or I don't remember my locker combination. So
All stress related. You know, in I guess in all seriousness, my worst, what I what I would never want to happen or where I would really see myself as a failure is to, God forbid, have my kids say, oh, she's not around, or she's always on her phone, or she doesn't really listen to us.
Oh, yeah.
She's not there for us. So as much as I am online, I really try to prioritize my kids and not make them obsessed with online, because they mm-hmm. are born into it and we were not. And I think that we know a bit of separation, and I really want to make sure that they don't turn out as people who can't speak to other people or don't feel the need to be with people because they have their phone with them.
That gave me big chills, because that is a parental concern, no doubt about it. You know, being thrust into the disruption and growing up with the technology, you often wonder if we're so absorbed in it. And we know that turning off technology and having human interaction is key. What about the younger generation? So you being that role model, and maybe it's turn it off at dinner time or however being around and being present. I think being present is super important, because that just says, okay, yes, there is technology, but when we're with you as parents, we're really, really with you. So I'm so glad that you said that. Can you just offer maybe three top tips of advice to young professionals who want to get into fashion or any industry?
I think that the stress of, you know, securing a job, especially if you're starting out, is very toxic, and you feel like you have to immediately go after, you know, contact as many people as you can and reach out on very sort of like the volume of outreach is intense. And I think you have to stop yourself and make sure that every aspect of your personal brand, whether it's your resume, your cover letter, your online presence, is ready before you invite these people to look at you. You know, I think that the whole package needs to be prepared, because while you may be applying to a job and may not think that your social media profile comes into play, it is Exhibit B in this day and age. And I think that people forget that. So be prepared. I think people should really appreciate and take advantage of any connection someone is willing to make for them.
Yes.
Because sometimes I find that I will make a connection for someone and I'll ask my friend, hey, did that person ever call you? And they're like, oh no, never heard from them. And it always amazes me that someone asks for a connection to be made and then they don't follow through. And I think a lot of young kids today don't realize how that harms their reputation and how those kinds of things follow them throughout their career, and how those are the things that people will remember the next time someone comes around and says, oh, you know, can you just pass a resume? No, actually I can't, because I remember when that person didn't even respond to an email. You know, so
exactly.
I think really mindful of how they communicate and how they network.
That's excellent. So it really is, be prepared, appreciate the connections, and follow up. Those are three excellent tips. So where can my listeners find out more about you and your new book, Leave Your Mark?
My website is alizalicht.com, which is alizalicht.com. Twitter, of course, Aliza Licht. The book is Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I actually read the audiobook, which was really a fun experience.
That's great.
Yeah. I definitely don't want to ever do that again, but it was fun. It was fun for the first time.
Just one. Awesome.
Yeah, so I'm around on the internet, definitely.
Excellent. Well, Aliza, thank you very much for joining us today and for sharing your advice on finding your dream job and really leaving your mark. You're someone to watch in fashion, on social media, and as a top mentor in America.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. I'd also like to thank everyone for tuning into Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, and until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.